to Movie Night with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Movie Night podcast. I'm Dwayne Perkins, as always, with my wonderful host, TK Kelly.
Yep.
Each week we watch a movie and we invite a guest and then we talk about the movie into your ears. It's revolutionary. It's never been done. We said, why don't we do it?
No podcast has ever covered this ground, guys. Our guest tonight is comic writer and actor Fahim Anwar. You've seen him. He's been in the Montreal Comedy Festival. He was on Chuck on NBC. He was recently in the Rolling Stone magazine for a music video he starred in that is absolutely hilarious. You've got to look it up. Dude can dance his balls off.
Thank you for telling the world. That's kind of why I'm on here. Spread the dancing gospel.
So what's going on, Fahim? What are you up to lately?
Just a lot of stand-up, and I've been on the road with D'Elia a bit, you know, Chris D'Elia, mm-hmm. and then sometimes Bobby will take me on the road.
Nice.
I'll be in Seattle, that's where I'm from, with Steve Renazzisi at the Parlor. So just stand-up in town, featuring a bit, and then
those
sketches.
Those shows you're describing are awesome shows, because you're killer.
Oh.
And I mean, those guys are even brave to even have you open for them, to be honest.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's cool. Like, just getting the feed off of their built-in audience. Because if I were to headline, I don't know how many people would come out and see me.
Yeah.
So it's cool to just do stacked shows and then glean some fans from theirs as well.
Oh, absolutely. Especially, I mean, like you said, it's their audience, so they're not necessarily expecting you. So when they see that you fucking kill it, that's great. I mean, you got to be pulling a lot from that. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's also what's fun about featuring is there's no pressure. Nobody knows who you are.
Yeah, if you
nobody
eat shit,
expects
they're like,
anything. Yeah. You're only doing 20 or 30, which, you know, I've been doing it 12 years. It's just like, it's nothing.
It's funny, though.
You don't even have to do a set list.
Right.
I think featuring sometimes has the opposite effect, too, though, with a little bit of a curse, where even if you kill, people are like, oh, that guy was great. Who was he? I don't remember. You know, because they don't know your name. And it's a...
Well, also, when you headline, you're just up there for so much longer, and it's this other thing, and... People remember the headliner too, but
yeah,
you can do some things in a feature spot still.
That's great, man. Anything coming up in particular? Any big shows?
Just around town. I'm at the Comedy Store a lot. I don't know, the Improv occasionally, and then just sketches with my sketch group, Goat Face. We put those out. We're trying to ramp up again, so I think we have maybe 4 or 5 videos in the can. We're just trying to put those out. So goatfacecomedy.com.
Nice.
Always really funny stuff.
Thanks,
just for those of the listeners who don't know, who's the other guys in that with you?
That's they're all stand-ups, and Asif Ali, Hassan Minhaj, Aristotle Theorist.
Very nice. And Fahim is one of the funniest Twitter guys out there. Tweeters, is that what
you know,
say?
This is one of my favorite compliments. Whenever people tell me in the flesh... they like my statuses, because anybody can like or retweet something.
No,
very memorable.
But for you, like,
I have two favorites. You,
oh, please tell
and Yasser.
Yasser's great too.
Yeah. You two are my favorite.
We're unsigned hype, man. I mean, we don't have that many followers for the love we get.
It's amazing. Like
getting Twitter followers
is so hard.
Like mining gold. It is unbelievably hard. I almost feel like I'm
dope at being a silent movie star. Like it doesn't matter.
Right.
Well, you know, I think when Twitter first started, before it got saturated, especially with comedians, it was easy to you'd get a lot of people right away. But then it hit this point where every comedian had to be on Twitter, and now it's like, God, it's just
growth. So
beating
hard on
a dead horse trying
and then you'll
to get
see
people.
Vine and then the growth is exponential on there, but I don't really have the time
and that's also a very I think the audience on Vine is a little bit
it slants younger it's very vaudeville
exactly.
Well, plus it's like what 15 seconds 7 seconds
Vine is six seconds
and it's
six?
So there's just the audience is definitely the people that succeed on there. Not that there aren't really funny people on Vine,
there are.
But by and large the people who have these massive audiences are not necessarily
well, the people who are consuming
it's not the most clever stuff
on Vine are like 8 to 14.
You shouldn't give an hour special to a guy who has 3 really good street jokes.
Yeah.
You know, like that is just a different.
I despise Vine with all of my heart because I work at Tosh.0 and I have to look at a lot of that shit.
Yeah, right.
And there's some very funny stuff, but finding that mining for that
you gotta wade
through just worlds of garbage.
No,
it is brutal.
At least it's 6 seconds of garbage.
Yeah, that's true.
And speaking of mining, because I got a feeling that we talked prior to the show, and TK, the movie today is Blue Jasmine, written and directed by Woody Allen, starring Kate Blanchett, Alec Baldwin, Sally Hawkins, the sister of Louis C.K., all-star cast. Dice is in it. Yes. And I take it you didn't really love it, TK.
No,
so,
I did not.
What were your thoughts, Fahim, about Blue Jasmine?
Yeah, you know, I didn't love it either. Like, it was okay. But it's kind of one of those things where it's so critically acclaimed and you kind of feel like you have to say you like it.
Yeah.
But if you dig deep, you're like, do I really like
no.
it?
No.
You know what I love about what you just said? I love so much what you just said.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's what this movie is about. It's about people who, like, in her character at least, that New York socialite scene, which Woody Allen always taps into
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just a bunch of phonies who, like, don't even know what they like and they just have to say they like something if this other group likes it.
Yeah.
So it's really refreshing to hear someone say, well, I kind of didn't like it, but you can't say that you didn't like it because everyone likes it. Like,
yeah.
Like, just let's put it out there like
anything,
that.
You know? Anything that gets that much Oscar talk, it's like you feel like, well, maybe I'm an idiot, like, if I don't feel a certain way about this movie. Because, and to me, that happens a lot with the Woody Allen movies because he gets so much play from the Academy. And for me, I mean, it's just, I don't get it. His movies don't do it for me overall. Some of them are great, but this one in particular reminds me of several others that I've seen where it's, you know, a 2-hour character piece where the
for
characters
sure.
are great.
It was like,
the
let's do some character gymnastics.
Yeah,
here.
But no, right, you know, right. In the, like, from beginning to end, it's like, well, nothing really happened.
Yeah, story wise, there's not a huge arc.
Yeah, and that's his style. And I think I was telling Dwayne, I think that's something that maybe it's an age thing partially because he, you know, when he started making films, you could be a little bit more exploratory in that way and not necessarily need the narrative. But I'm like, I need a beginning, middle, and end.
Right.
I'm an idiot.
Like, like I think I like the movie more than you guys, but at the same time, this is not a movie that you couldn't make a trailer for this movie that would honestly depict the movie. And
okay.
that could be good, and that could be bad, because sometimes if like, you know, you watch a trailer in a movie theater and you're like, well, I don't have to see that movie now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you get that, but this movie, it's like the trailer would have to lie because not that much.
Yeah, there's not
from
enough. Yeah, absolutely
to end.
Not. There's not enough happening.
Yeah, like. And, you know, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the characters.
Some of the characters
was
were
great.
Really great. It was hard to hate it because of there were certain parts of it that were, like, really enjoyable. But just as a film, it was like, this is just some super white lady having super white problems the entire time.
Well, and not only is she having white problems, but she's not adjusting to the reality of her current situation. Like, she's a woman who her husband was, you know, a rich guy who was, you know, a thief, and now she has no money, he's dead, and she's not adjusting to her new situation.
No, she
and
just
that's the
instead
thing
goes insane.
Well, she's still acting like she's better than everyone.
Oh, absolutely.
When she's, like, living on her sister's couch, and at some point you're thinking, and that's the thing, you just want her to at some point go, you know what, I've been kind of shitty.
Well, that's and I think that's what I expect as a viewer, is that, like, this character is, at the beginning, you're inherently like, oh, she's this,
maybe
I'm
she'll
better
go
than everybody.
Some metamorphosis.
Exactly.
But...
And nope, she just, the
but
whole
But I mean, maybe
time,
she does, but in the opposite direction.
Yeah, yeah, she just kind of sinks further down. It's really just watching this woman's life slip away. It's not too uplifting.
It's just been called how homelessness happens.
Yeah, right, exactly, right. Exactly. Right. I was saying the same thing at the end, her on that bench with the wet hair, and it's like, oh, shit. She's insane now. Like, this is it for her.
But she picks homelessness and I know, you know, you could argue that she was clinically insane, but I think she picks insanity, picks homelessness over saying I was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, she
like,
won't.
Like, and, I like this movie, but it comes to, like, with the summation of all the girls I've ever dated, like, you know what I mean? Like, when I see a woman
all of
not
Dwayne's
admitting
former
that she's
loves
wrong,
are homeless now.
Yeah, when I see a woman not admitting, like, okay, the girls that dated me, you didn't want to admit you were wrong. That's fine because you weren't homeless. You know what I'm saying?
But but if it hinged on that,
if it hinged on that, you think, okay, now I've got her right where I want her. Right, she's got to admit she's wrong.
Or live
because
on the streets.
Live on the streets.
Choose the streets.
Choose the streets.
Stubborn lady. She was a stubborn lady. And I got to say, though, like, as much as I'm kind of crapping on it, though, like, Kate Blanchett's performance was pretty ridiculous. She was great. She
amazing.
Definitely played, like, a crazy woman who's kind of losing touch really well.
Yeah. One gripe I had with it casting-wise is too many people from Boardwalk Empire on it. That threw me off. Louie I can handle.
Yeah.
One Boardwalk guy I can handle, but two, now it's
right,
too much.
Right, right. That's
just
hilarious.
Pick one, Woody. Pick
you know,
one.
I felt like it was like he's trying to make a movie in San Fran, but it's in New York. Like it's
it was
everyone sounds
New
like
York
they're
movie.
They're from New York, and it's like.
Dude's name is Chili. He's a car mechanic,
right?
And he has this like slick back hair. With you tell me that dude's not from Staten Island.
Exactly.
Bullshit.
Yeah, right, right.
San Francisco. I don't think so, buddy.
Yeah, you're saying he's not good at San Francisco archetypes. He doesn't have that in his repertoire.
No one knows what they are, right?
Right.
But I think the thing is like because like we were talking earlier, like this movie could have been a Staten Island. Like it's really just a New York socialite juxtaposed against like the
a San Francisco backdrop,
working class. Yeah, yeah. And it could have been like a New Yorker versus a West Coast sort of, you know, Berkeley kind of earthy, crunchy person. It's all the characters are just, they all exist in New York. They're, even though it's in San Fran, it's just sort of like the elite, an elite person from like Park Avenue who's been sort of like cast away to Staten Island. And now she's got to deal with that. Except it's not Staten Island, it's San Fran.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So no, it was in moments I would forget that it was not set in New York because of the way the characters were. But I mean I think that was the least of my issues.
Right, right. Well, here's the thing. I thought it could be a cautionary tale again, to like we live in LA, all of us, and so we know we know hot chicks and we know the hot chick who like
Dwayne's bragging.
Right, right, I know. Right?
We know hot chicks.
Well, we also
What's
know
up,
we know
world?
The hot chick who's kind of like gets away with a little bit more
oh,
than she
sure.
should because
yeah,
she's
yeah.
hot.
A little yeah. bit more.
And then,
come on, Dwayne.
Is this a window into that kind of like?
Right,
right,
because I know these girls personally, and I know I've been around long enough to see some of them kind of like get to the age where like I can't get away with it anymore. Like no one can like. And I thought this movie could be a great cautionary tale for like. All 20-something girls would be like, mm-hmm.
Eventually you'll
point,
have to have substance.
Yeah, I mean,
at some point you may not be as hot and people want to, you're going to have that
I will
substance.
Say, yeah, that stirred something in me. It was kind of aggravating when she almost was with that, you know, the politician guy or whatever. Like,
right,
she
right.
Almost, like all her wrongs and all that was going to be okay. She was going to have a golden parachute. Just
right,
get another
right.
guy.
Another,
she was
yeah,
so
super
close.
Rich guy just shows up and he's
and
like, I love
she
you.
She would never have to look inward and everything would be peachy keen.
Right.
So part of me is just like, don't get a free ride again.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you have thought it was a free ride if she came clean to him? Would you have still considered that a free ride if she was like, listen, this is what
no.
I've been? And,
no.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have accepted that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Just with the deception and the lies. And like,
yeah.
She's going to get away with this.
Right,
I think it would have made sense. It would have satisfied me a lot for her character if she did decide, you know what, I actually do
right.
care about this guy legitimately. Because she didn't seem to ever legitimately care about anyone.
He was just a dollar sign. Or
yeah,
or just
everyone kind of in her life was very much just like
interchangeable
for her to
pieces.
Maintain that, right. her lifestyle.
And the backdrop is she after her husband dies and he was going to get convicted, and she moves to San Fran to be with her sister, and she's got to eat crow because she's sort of looked down on her sister their whole lives, and now she needs her. And then she meets another rich guy, and like you said, Fahim is like, oh, so that's it, another golden parachute. But instead of sort of like appreciating the second chance or coming clean and apologizing, trying to get, you know, make amends, she lies to him, and then she gets caught in her lie, and he walks away from her because he's like, you know, our whole thing is based on a lie. She just couldn't get out of her own way. Like, she needed to always be more than what she was.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, she wasn't even, she had so much pride, she couldn't even tell the dude. I mean, had she told him off the bat, like, my husband was this scumbag financier that stole everybody's money, obviously that guy, he would have known who that person was.
But,
and if she could have just told him, it probably still would have gone okay. But she was so obsessed with her status that she had to be like, oh, my husband was this surgeon.
Yeah.
She had to make up another life. It's like your actual life is pretty high status already.
Right,
you're
right,
okay.
Right. Like, but she didn't want to admit her fall.
Exactly.
But what I also didn't get is when they flash back, because there's a lot of flashing back to when her husband was alive and she was living a good life.
Alec Baldwin, by the way.
He's great.
Amazing scumbag.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. He was great.
Like, you get it with that guy. You get, like, that... He can do no wrong.
Oh,
you know
absolutely.
I mean?
He's stealing people's money. He's banging. I would think everyone they met, he banged.
The best part is when
he was just like, what? I don't know what.
He picks up on a girl while his wife is with him, right? And he walks over to his wife and he goes, "Hey, you don't like baseball, right?
I'm just gonna take
I'm thinking
you.
Of taking this super hot whore.
So I'm just gonna take out personal trainer."
But I mean, that just shows you how absorbed she was in this world.
Oh yeah, she's like, "Yeah, you should take her. She'll love it."
Or kind of knew what was up.
My favorite,
really.
I would say, my favorite line in the movie is when the girl says to him in that moment,
yes.
"She's like, are you sure you don't want to take anybody else?" And he says, "No, you'll do.
You'll do.
Like, you will be fine." Priceless.
Yeah. But my thing, and that's my thing. She's so sort of wrapped up in that world. She doesn't question anything. And I don't think Woody Allen does a good job of sort of exploring, okay, so was she happy when she had it all? Or was that delusional too? And is it just all delusion? Or was she genuinely happy living with this cheating husband who was, you know, stealing everyone's money? And they never really... It's not clear, you know?
She seemed devoid of emotion to me. She was like a robot who was just like, I function, I survive on money.
And she probably was an alcoholic too, actually.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. But didn't she call it in, though? That's the crazy thing.
Like, she called it in,
yeah. She's part of her own demise.
Well, ultimately, not only is she part of her own demise, but she knew he was a fraud.
Oh, yeah.
And she tells her sister to blow her life savings or her lottery winnings. So she basically ruined her sister's life,
too. I think in that moment, I would think her character knew he was a fraud, but also knew he was prospering from it. So she probably thought, well, he's not going to get caught, so he'll make them a little money, whatever. I don't think she was actively trying to fuck her sister over.
I think she was just so emotional and short-sighted. She just wanted to hurt him and didn't think that it would long-term hurt her.
Right,
of course.
I mean, she didn't realize that.
Oh, this is going to ruin my life.
He provides everything for her, and calling the feds on him will somehow affect her.
Yeah, just a little bit. Classic white guy getting arrested scene too with Alec Baldwin.
Oh, that's great. Yeah,
you're arresting me? Is this some kind of joke? That's the go-to line. Is this a joke, officer? Look at me.
I'm wearing a suit.
But the cops
are like... You see my hair? You can't arrest this.
Yeah, and the cop's like, he's like, what are you arresting me for? And they're like, well, let's just talk about it.
We'll talk about it downtown.
Are you going to put me in cuffs? Like, really? You're going to put me in cuffs? Like, this is what you do when you arrest me? It's like, no, we always...
that's how it goes. That's the process. Got to do it. All right, guys, let's launch into the games here. Okay. Each week we play a couple little games in relation to the movie. And this week, let's start off with, as far as I think we all probably have a good answer for this, what's one thing you would change, like, about this movie if you could fix it in one way? Dwayne, what do you think?
There's a lot of ways you could fix this movie. But what I thought was the sister basically used to date Andrew Dice Clay's character.
Yeah.
Then she dates, and they're both great actors, but I would have kept her with Dice. Because I think this movie needed more Dice. He was, like you said, the voice of sanity.
Yeah.
He was the only one sort
Which
of...
Which is insane.
Barely...
right. He was the only one willing to tell Kate Blanchett, like, hey, you're wrong. And it really seemed to really land.
Yeah.
So I would have more Dice, and I would have made the whole thing happen in Staten Island. That's just, you know...
I would have... Yeah, I mean, just seeing that Kate Blanchett character... To me, like, San Francisco's not... it's not all that different in my mind of like highfalutin New York living, you know?
Right.
So, but like Staten Island would be, it's so close, but it's just such a different place.
You know, Newark, New Jersey, like really
Southern
like
Newark.
Go somewhere, you know?
What do you think, Fahim?
I mean, I touched on this earlier, but it really did bother me. There was two Boardwalk Empire guys.
You just don't want them in. You just don't want them in.
For sure. I just don't want to.
Just get rid of them.
Do you not like the show?
No, I love it.
Oh, I see.
But it's distracting. Like,
right.
One
I know what
handle,
you mean.
But
when you see multiple characters from another thing that you really know them from, it sort of takes you out of that.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Totally. Like, yeah, two characters from The Wire
it's like
and anything.
Mario Lopez was on Franklin and Bash, too. Come on.
That's just too much Bell. Can't do it. I mean, mine is I would have something happen. I just want something to happen.
Something to happen.
Just have something happen in this fucking movie.
Like,
instead of having it was this like cyclical thing where it was always the same scene where she would get a little better, then things would go really terrible, then she'd have a bunch of vodka. It was just so repetitive.
And it was just the girlfriend's, either her ex-husband or her boyfriend saying, she didn't care about you before.
Yeah.
This is
she thinks I'm a loser. Shut the fuck up, Chili. You dick.
I'm crazy about you. Look how angry you make
like
me.
Rip the phone off the wall. Yeah, I mean,
even
to be fair.
Even though you cheated on me, I want you back.
She was a bitch, but, I mean, that dude was kind of an insane person. He ripped the phone off the wall at one point.
It's that San Francisco temper.
You know, he did.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know
that standard archetype of the San Francisco guinea who rips things off the wall.
But I didn't have a problem with that only because like the Cate Blanchett character can't pretend she's more civil than that guy. Yeah, sure, he ripped the phone off the wall. Right. That's not cool. But you know, taking people's life savings isn't civil either. You know, and looking down on people isn't civil.
Yeah.
So it's like different forms of being just horrible. You know, like one is like you see it, and the other one is more subdued, but just as bad. You know.
Yeah. Well, I would argue. I mean, the people she looked down on the most, which was Bobby Cannavale's character and Dice's character, were probably, they had more real substance. Everybody almost that she looked down on, like her sister, they all had huge flaws, but they all had more real substance as people.
And they all had a skill set. Like she was looking down on people who could make a living, and she could not make a living.
It's I love that she wanted to, she went and took a computer class to learn how to use computers so she could then take the interior design class online.
That was...
And I love that everybody was like, why don't you just take a class? And she was like, no, I have to learn computers. Like, she just was clearly in a different world, just in another reality.
Yeah.
I love this one, Dwayne. I think it's hilarious. Dwayne pointed out that since Louis C.K. and Andrew Dice Clay are both in this, two stand-up comedians, he wanted to recast the movie, recast all the other characters with comics.
All the major characters, yes.
Yeah, so let's hear what you got, Dwayne.
Well, here's what I would let Cate Blanchett's character, I thought Caroline Ray would do a great job, because she's funny, she's hilarious, and she's kind of cute enough to get away with being selfish. You know, I think it would, and I really like Caroline Ray. You know, I think she's, you know, pretty hot and everything. So I'd put Caroline Ray in there, and then the sister, I struggle with the sister, but I was thinking a sassy black comic. So I was thinking Cheryl Underwood. I don't know if you guys... Okay, so we know... Okay, then it's her. Yeah, it's just Cheryl Underwood. And then the boyfriend, the new boyfriend, Chili. I was thinking Bill Burr.
I think it would
just be great bringing that Boston sort of thing into it, you know? the guy she cheats with, I was thinking... Oh, no, that's Lewis. So he's a boy... The new boyfriend that is the politician.
Peter Sarsgaard's character, yeah.
I was thinking either Larry the Cable Guy.
As the aspiring San Francisco politician.
Right.
I love that.
Brian Regan or Jeff Garcia. And I want the dentist to be either Brody Stevens, the dentist who tries to sexually assault her, or Ray Romano. Just, you know, come on, let me, but I like you.
Fahim, what about you? Who you got?
Let's see. For
and don't feel the pressure to do all of them.
I was thinking Cate Blanchett's character, Natasha Leggero.
That's
nice.
Great.
Yeah.
She'd be perfect for that. And then, I didn't even think of that. That's funny.
The sister, I was thinking about it. I see Schumer, maybe Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
And then the politician guy. I would say I had it in my mind. Alec Baldwin's character, Ryan Stout.
Yeah,
I have
that's
Ryan
a good
Stout.
One.
Yeah. I have him. Yeah, I have him. Yeah.
Stout.
That'd be great because he wears a suit all the time.
Yeah, so. I had Jeselnik for that. Just because
nice.
If I could think of any comic who could dupe people out of a ton of their money and have no remorse, he could do it.
Right.
He could do it.
Right. Yeah,
he's got the hair. He's got the hair.
And politician, maybe Costa. Maybe.
Oh,
Michael
I like
Costa,
that.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, he can just go bang.
Just hand out this business card.
I said for the sister, I'm not going to get better than Natasha Leggero for Cate Blanchett's.
Yeah,
that was the one I knew.
No,
that
for
makes
sure.
perfect sense. The sister, I was thinking Sarah Silverman. She kind of just reminded me
more
of her a little bit. She was just down to earth, but she was funny in parts too. She was one of the only characters that actually made me laugh a little bit.
Yeah.
Then for the dentist, I want Hannibal Buress.
I just
want to see. He fixates so well on one thing about somebody. I would love to see him talk to her about her teeth.
I think that would be
hilarious about how much he can get from somebody through their teeth. And Chili, I want Dove Davidoff. I think he would be
that's a good
very
that's
chilly,
solid.
Like very that's emotionally amazing. Like yeah. wrecked. He would be so funny in that part.
Yeah,
not that he actually is. That was not what I was saying. But yeah, he would just be, he's perfect and chilly in my mind. See, I want to see him rip a phone off the wall. Get on it, Dove. Let's see. Sequel, alternate ending. So what happens either at the end? Because the end is very obscure in this movie. They're not clear. She's sitting on this bench.
Mm-hmm.
She's got wet hair. She's talking to herself. She's not doing great.
Right.
But what is, you know, what happens after that in your mind? Dwayne, what do you think, man?
What I had was, because she's on the street and maybe she's going to be homeless, right? Or something like that. So I said the Jasmine character, she becomes a streetwalker. And she looks. She still looks down on everyone.
This is the second. I want to point out. This is the second podcast where Dwayne made the sequel. They become whores.
Right. But you got to hit the bottom. I'm trying to find her rock bottom.
That's all right. That's a good rock bottom.
So she becomes a hooker, but she still looks down on everyone though. And
that'd be funny, like a really snooty hooker.
Yeah. Until she meets a hooker in a wheelchair with a heart of gold, and and then she finally gets it when that hooker. The brakes on her wheelchair gives out, and she almost dies when her wheelchair goes down the steepest hill in San Fran. She survives, but the Kate Blanchett character, you know, learns her lesson and comes and decides to be a nicer person.
So she has to plummet down. She has to see this person plummet down just an enormous hill that she would never live through.
Right. But she lives, though. She lives.
But she lives. Yeah. All right, that's all. Fahim, what do you got, man?
She goes back to the dentist office.
Yeah, there you go.
And then she gets that golden parachute. I mean, he wanted her so bad anyway, so it's just a match made in heaven.
That would be enjoyable to see her her life out with this creepy dude. And
it's better than being homeless, right?
Yeah. In essence, that's another hooker kind of situation. It's just one with one John.
In a sense, her whole life was, you know, if she was basing every relationship on getting something, you know?
Yeah, right.
For me, I want her to wake up, and it was all a dream. She's still married to Alec Baldwin, but he's Jack Donaghy from 30 Rock. She's Avery, and then they just have another movie in that world because I miss 30 Rock. That's why.
Nice.
I think we got time for one more quick game. Let's do take a life lesson from this. What would you say from any of the characters in this movie if they could teach you how to live your life? What do you think you gathered from it, Fahim? What do you think, man?
Have tangible skills.
That's a good one. That is. I don't know.
Learn a trade.
Yeah. Not that any of us could necessarily say, like, if shit went bad, we'd be screwed. But we still got more than she did.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. We got hell gigs at least. What I learned was if you act like a brat, people will put up with you. You know, people will help you even if you don't deserve it. Like, there's a certain level of entitlement that. It's so off the charts that people don't know how to respond to it, so they just help you.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're like, this feels wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're a sociopath, you can get away with a lot,
basically. I think she was a
character. But I feel like you need certain things, though. Not everyone can, you know? Like, if you're acting like Kate, you couldn't do that.
But you have to have the
prerequisites.
Yeah.
Be a hot chick or whatever.
And if you believe it, I think if you believe it enough, if you are a person who acts so entitled that it will, people in turn kind of are like, oh, this person must be better than me. Well, and that's how everyone in her life acted, except Dice.
It's just like if people are telling you a movie is great, you're like, oh, I guess this movie is great. Like, there's some conviction that, like, you just roll with it because it's so steeped in belief, mm-hmm. you know?
My life lesson is always listen to Andrew Dice Clay.
He
was the voice of reason in this film, which is a bizarre thing to think about.
Thought?
The conscience in this movie is Dice. He is if anyone had listened to him, all their lives would have been better. He told his wife at the time, her sister, he said to tell her that she was being cheated on. If she had done that, maybe their relationship would have ended sooner. She would have got out with a ton of money and none of the legal bullshit. And also, if he didn't want to invest his money. And these people ruined his life. I felt terrible for him, and he was the only, like, as you know, they made him so brutish and just play, you know, the Dice kind of character, but he was the only person in the movie that I was like, I kind of feel bad for this guy.
Yeah.
Like, he caught a rough break. Always listen to Dice, kids.
Always listen to Dice.
That's the lesson I can take from it. We should make t-shirts.
Right. Dice was right.
All
right,
so that's about it for the movie. We want to plug a few things before we head out. Fahim, thanks so much for doing it, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
So what do you have coming up? Anything in particular? Where can people find your stuff? Twitter, all that
stuff?
Yeah,
I've got some tweets coming up.
I've got some big tweets rolling out.
Got some, some big tent poles I've got. I'm on Twitter.
Twitter.com/FahimAnwar.
It's FahimAnwar. Then the sketch group I'm in, Goatface Comedy, the website's goatfacecomedy.com. We're on YouTube. It's like /goatfacecomedy. And then, I'm just touring a little bit. I'll usually tweet about it.
Yeah, look his stuff up. Seek him out.
Yeah.
Use the internet, guys.
And
we're confident.
I'm in LA all the time, too. So if you go to the Comedy Store, I'm there like 4 nights a week. So
awesome.
Stop by.
Dwayne?
Nice. And when you voice text Fahim, it writes for him. I just wanted to tell you.
Sometimes I get Fathom, so
right. I'm doing, Funny DP is the Twitter handle, and some of you may not have my book, Hot Chocolate for the Mind. That's available on Amazon. Go cop that, yo. Go cop that.
I wish I had a book, man. Oh, that just sounds so good to say.
It does.
On radio and or podcasts. I have tweets. That's it.
Yeah, I'm at TK Kelly Comedy on Twitter. I guess if you put them all together, it could be a book. I don't know.
Right.
It wouldn't be very good. There wouldn't be much of a narrative. It would be sort of Woody Allen-ish, I think.
Right.
Just a lot of bullshit happening. Nothing really happening.
I do have a website, though. I forgot. I should mention.
Oh, yeah. That's very nice thing. Website as well.
Yeah. FahimAnwar.com.
There it is.
That's it.
Look them up, guys. Check out the Warp Zone Comedy Show at the Virgil in L.A. the last Tuesday of every month. And thanks for tuning in. Fahim, thanks for doing it, man. It was
fun.
Yeah,
thanks for having me, guys.
All right, thanks a lot. Tune in next week, guys.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.